Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Harris Cherokee Resort. Find us online at caesars.com/harris-cherokee.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So I want to start today's program with a little bit of a message to those rival fans that like to kind of poke at Georgia. And listen, you know, I have very thick skin about stuff like this. People give me grief all the time. People give UGA grief kind of all the time. We have kind of a high-profile spot here, the show that we do. People know I'm a Georgia fan, so I get a lot of this. You get a lot of this yourself on social media. And for the most part, it all just kind of rolls right off my back, right? I love the SEC for this very reason. I like the fact that we kind of pass the time in the offseason by taking jabs back and forth at each other, and really for the most part it's all in good natured fun. Now there are some knuckleheads out there that kind of take stuff too far, but that's going to be true no matter what topic you talk about. For the most part though, I've never been that bothered by the sort of typical fan trash talk. However, I do have what I think is a little bit of a, you can call it like a public service announcement, maybe a word to the wise for those rival fans who think they've got the trump card to play on UGA anytime they want to. And you know what it is, right? You can see it in our comment sections. You can see it in my replies on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. You sort of see this all the time. If you're not a Georgia fan, the thing that you love, rubbing in UGA fans' face is the fact that it's been 40 years since Georgia's won a national championship. Some of the Florida fans can even tell you, you know, how many days it's been. And whatever. And that is the thing that they just kind of, you know, beat over Georgia's head over and over and over again. And admittedly, if an LSU fan does that, you know, Georgia fans don't have too much to say in response to that. If an Alabama fan does that, he won his last national championship in 2017, won a handful of those in recent years. For now, Alabama's got a little bit of an edge. He can play against UGA by bringing that up. Clemson can do the same thing. Won a national championship most recently in 2018, won one before that in 2016. If they want to play the, oh my gosh, how long has it been since Georgia's won a national championship card, for now anyway, a UGA fan for the most part has to sort of sit there and take that, and hopefully in the course of the next couple of years on the field, that those fans will get a chance to watch UGA get that opportunity to sort of render that complaint, meaningless by going out winning its own national championship. However, what I've also said before is there's a growing number of fans around college football who also like to kind of poke at Georgia for how long it's been since the Dogs have won a national championship that don't quite have as much of a leg to stand on as they might think. Now, I'm going to play you some audio here, and I think this is a really cool example of a recruit choosing Georgia for the right reasons. Four-star safety Major Burns, who had been a part of LSU's program, came over to Georgia to be a part of the 2020 class. And recently, our buddy DJ Shockley did a really good job of this, of sitting down the official site from Georgia. And I'll put a link to the video up. We looked at some of this yesterday. We'll look at a lot of this in the time to come. But Shockley sat down for the official site, talked to all the early enrollees, and the question came up of, you know, Major, you're not from the state of Georgia. Why is it that you chose UGA? And the purpose of this clip is going to do two things. First of all, if you're a UGA fan, I think you'll love the reason why Burns professes that Georgia was the right school for him, but I think this also takes us to a pretty interesting place in terms of how we might respond to rival fans who love poking at UGA. Here is Major Burns on picking the Dogs.
Georgia's got a standard of winning. I'm a winning person. I like winning. I like competing. You know, sharks swim with sharks. So I just wanted to go somewhere where they would get the best of me. I would get the best of them. And what really jumped out to me was the academics here. Mm-hmm. They make sure we own it. They take care of us, like with their children, teammates, all look after us like we brothers. So that stuck out, and I'm here now.
You couldn't script a better answer. You just couldn't. That's going to really be a little bit of a theme today on our program, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort, that a lot of these guys that chose the Dogs apparently did so for the best of reasons. Major Burns articulating it so well. There's a standard of winning here, Georgia. I want to be a winner. This program is a winner. He says sharks want to swim with sharks. At other schools, maybe coaches lay down with sharks. If you think back to the old Florida thing. But around here at UGA, sharks want to swim with sharks. I want to be a winner. Georgia's got a standard of winning. And that's where, like, speaking of the Florida Gators, a Gator fan may pop up and say, standard of winning? It's been 40 years since Georgia won a national championship, Major. Don't you know that? Aren't you aware of that? And if Major Burns were having this conversation in real life with a Florida fan, here's what he may say. Yeah, but it's been 2009 since you won your last national championship. And that may not sound like a long time to someone like me, who's 43 years old now. That may not sound like all that big of a deal, 2009 compared to where we are now in 2020. But think about this for the moment in the eyes of an 18-year-old. Major Burns was what? Am I right about this? Like 7 years old when Florida won its last national championship? You think Major Burns was living and dying with every moment of the 2009 Gators way back way back then, all that time ago? You think he was doing that? My guess is he probably was not. You know, maybe an Auburn fan the same way of, oh my gosh, Major, you chose Georgia because of the standard of winning. You know how long it's been since UGA's won a national championship? Major Burns would say to them, listen, I was only 7 the last time Florida won a national championship. I was 8 the last time you won a national championship. Tennessee, I wasn't even born the last time Tennessee won a national championship. See, when you're like in your 40s like I am, when you're kind of like a full-fledged adult, if you jab at me about how long it's been since UGA's won a national championship, for the most part, that kind of works because I lived through the disappointment of the years in which Georgia came up short, and unfortunately, I had to live through the frustration of watching Florida win titles and watching Auburn win a title, and I even remember the first BCS year when Tennessee won a title. I can think back and remember on that. That's a bragging right that kind of works on me. But given how young a guy like Major Burns was as a representative of all the 2020 recruits, given how young they were when these other programs, these rivals to UGA who kind of poke back and forth at the Dogs for how long it's been since they've won it all, given how young they were when those other teams won their championship, I don't quite think that that idea kind of works on them. Major Burns just said this. In my mind, UGA is a winner. Now, it may not have won a national championship yet, but just a couple of years ago, Georgia won the Rose Bowl, made the college football playoff. We know how much television ratings those games got. Seemingly, that got Major Burns' attention, beating Notre Dame a couple times, high-profile games. Also, games that were very highly rated among the most watched in the seasons in which they were played. Apparently, a guy like Major Burns was also paying attention to that as well. So, the point here is, two things. First of all, Major Burns, you could not pick a better reason to choose UGA, and if you're a UGA fan, you couldn't feel any better than that about the reason why he says he chose the Dogs. But beyond that, for the rival fan, you can keep poking at the 40-year thing, and obviously Georgia wants to try to end that here pretty soon. But don't expect that message to work on the current recruits. The current recruits don't have a memory quite as long as you do. They don't think back to 29 and 2010 or 1998 or however long it's been. Yes, the championship thing probably works a little bit for Alabama, and yes, it probably still works for Clemson, and goodness knows, given how LSU were performed with a couple of key recruits, that season they just had works for them. But in terms of ripping on Georgia for what it hasn't done the last 40 years, for the most part, recruits have a pretty short memory. All they know is the Kirby Smart era. And to them, the Smart era has been pretty good. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort. It's great to have you with us as part of the program, no matter how you get to us today. Live on video, 10 a.m., Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, a lot of ways to watch us. You can listen to us on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. You can check us out as a podcast, on-demand audio, pretty much anywhere in the world. I even post the show each day at theworldfamousdognation.com. If you want a great way to kind of keep up with some of the source material we use in the program, we link to a lot of that there at the show page. We post the show each and every day, so check us out there at theworldfamousdognation.com or wherever you find your podcast. You can do that, the Apple Player, the Google Player, pretty much everything else. By the way, as I said before, huge thanks to our friends at Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort for making it all possible. You know, both their properties are less than a three-hour drive from Atlanta. Really convenient to get to for really, really fun casino gaming. Big, huge gaming facility at both the spots, whether it's the original Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort or the Harrah's Cherokee Valley River. They both are well known for really fun gaming options, the roulette, the craps, the blackjack, the slots, everything else you want, and they've got great accommodations as well. In fact, at Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort, they've got more than 1,100 rooms, 10 dining options. They got poker rooms, spa, all kinds of world-class shopping, and coming soon to both properties, Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort and Harrah's Cherokee Valley River, the book. That's right, sports gaming is coming to the Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort properties. If you're watching on video, I'll show you the website you can go to find out more about this. Or if you're listening podcast radio, the simplest thing I can tell you to do is search Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort, the name of the property, and the book, Sportsbook. You can find out all the details about that, about when you can start making your sports bets right there at the Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort properties. All right, it's Dog Nation Daily here today. Let's go around the doghouse. We'll get Mike Griffith here coming up in just a couple of minutes. I want to talk about something before we get there, though. And I briefly mentioned this yesterday, and I kind of did it as sort of an open and shut case. Apparently, the real situation is way, way different than we initially thought. Let me start here around the doghouse by mentioning what I said yesterday, which is that controversially, Mark D'Antonio is out as Michigan State coach, choosing to retire. Spartans have been in a panic about trying to find someone to fill that position. Luke Fickell, the Cincinnati coach, turned them down. They were running around. You had a very, in some cases, not exactly august body of names who were showing up as potential replacements for D'Antonio. And one of the guys who also seemingly turned this job down was former Georgia defensive coordinator Mel Tucker, now the head coach, or at least he was the head coach at Colorado. Let me show you Tucker on Twitter. This is going back to yesterday. He says, "While I am flattered to be considered for the head coaching job for Michigan State, I am committed to the Colorado Buffs for the, quote, and this is the hashtag, the build of our program. It's great athletes, coaches, and supporters." He says, "Unfinished business, go Buffs," and then he gives you like 1,000 more hashtags, which all the coaches pretty much do when they say all this stuff. And I said yesterday, you know, I can kind of understand this. The situation at Michigan State's kind of a mess right now. You can make a case that on the field, Colorado and Michigan State aren't that different right now. So why not just stay in Boulder and coach the Buffs? Well, apparently there was a big reason why not to. Several million reasons, in fact, because it has been reported that Michigan State's essentially doubling Tucker's salary at Colorado, and all of a sudden the idea of staying and finish what you started in Colorado doesn't quite seem such a good idea anymore. Bruce Feldman reporting that Colorado coach Mel Tucker has agreed in principle to become the next coach at Michigan State, per sources. Feldman says after Tucker turned down initial interest, MSU power brokers came back repeatedly to Tucker's reps with an offer that was impossible to ignore. Now let me be clear about this. It's a little bit surprising to me that Tucker's the guy at the center of all this, because I think of him as a pretty mild-mannered guy. There are some coaches in college football who seemingly are always on the lookout for the next contract and a chance to move up and, you know, to step over whoever they have to get one rung up the ladder. You know, that was never my thing with Tucker at Georgia. I always thought of him as just kind of a good dude. He was a little bit more of a normal acting coach. There are a lot of coaches who act like they've never interacted with humanity before. Tucker always seemed like a real human being to me. So the fact that he's at the center of all this is a little bit weird. But ultimately, I'm not mad at him. I think the decision to double your salary is one that you should make. I think you'd be kind of a fool if you didn't do that. I think that even though it's a little awkward that Tucker said he was staying and now he's going, the fact of the matter is, in this case, money talks. And my advice to you, to anybody, if you've got a chance to double your salary for a job that seems like one that's at least pleasant enough to consider, you should probably take the job, Mel Tucker included, no matter what he may have said and no matter how close it might be just to the conclusion of National Signing Day. What happens to those Colorado recruits? It's a fair debate, but in terms of Tucker, he's got his own family's future to worry about. I don't fault him for taking the money. But I will say this. The fact that Colorado cannot hold on to its coach when Michigan State comes calling like this is not only a bad sign for the Buffaloes, I believe it's a huge, huge blight on the Pac-12, especially given the fact that Washington State lost Mike Leach to Mississippi State, not exactly one of the powers of the SEC. You know, Luke Fickell turned down the Michigan State job that Tucker even, you know, eventually took. This is an example of a very wealthy conference, a school, Michigan State, in that conference, essentially money whipping Colorado. And the fact that Colorado and the rest of the Pac-12 cannot keep up financially with the rest of college football is something that I think the rest of us have to sort of start calling out. We have to sort of start pretending, or stop pretending, I should say, that the Power Five conferences, so to speak, all play on equal footing. They obviously do not. The Pac-12 is obviously far removed from the more competitive leagues. The SEC is one, and to the Big Ten's credit, it's really not all that far behind in terms of the money that it generates. And at the top end, the quality of the teams in that league, they use resources well, and they have a lot of them. The Pac-12 just doesn't. And the school that gets end up hurt by this the most is a school like Georgia, frankly, because it is an up-and-coming program in a deep league like the SEC, where Alabama's well-established and schools like LSU have national championship pedigrees. So Georgia, like 2018, ends up having to sit out the college football playoff because it was only the second-best team in the SEC in favor of the best team from another league. It was the Big 12 in that year, and other years it's the Pac-12 that gets consideration. But can we stop pretending that the top of the Pac-12 is anywhere near as good, anywhere near as prominent as the second-best in the SEC, or I would even say the second-best in the Big 10? We have a crisis in college football, and that crisis is that we are treating five conferences as if they are the same when they are obviously not. It is the most Bush League thing in the world for a school like Colorado to lose its coach to Michigan State. It's a problem for the rest of the sport. Georgia's even impacted by this for the reasons that I suggested. So it's a very interesting time in the sport. Mel Tucker is a very rich man today. And the Pac-12, well, more egg on the face for a league that's collected a lot of that here as of late. It is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented today by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. I've got more fun audio from recent Georgia signees later on the show. For now, though, let's get ready to talk to Mike Griffith.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
A lot to talk to Mike Griffith about. Always really good stuff from him here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. Mike, let me start with you, though, on the subject of Mel Tucker, a guy that you know a little bit about. Certainly saw him a lot around the world of college football. Colorado coach, now at Michigan State. I think that's the problem for the sport when the Pac-12 can't keep up financially with the rest of the leagues, the Big Ten here in this situation. What do you make of Tucker's departure from Boulder?
Well, BA, it's interesting because I've got a lot of insight into what's going on at Michigan State, a lot of insight, more probably than anybody in the country right now. And I've been watching this closely. I still talk with people. You know, I went to Michigan State. I covered that beat, and I still talk with people that are involved on both sides of the lawsuit. And what Mel Tucker doesn't know, and I don't think Michigan State's been forthcoming about, is Michigan State is going to be under NCAA investigation. That's going to happen. It will absolutely happen. And the lawsuit that is pending against Mark D'Antonio and Michigan State for a wrongful termination will likely evolve into a racial lawsuit. Mel Tucker has stepped into it pretty big. And all I can say is I hope that the paycheck is worth it for him. His track record indicates he doesn't stay anywhere very long. And I would suggest to you that he will not be at Michigan State beyond 2 or 3 years. This is a panic move by Michigan State University. Mel is a minority, and they wanted to make a minority hire. That was very important to their board of trustees. Mel does have the Nick Saban pedigree. He has worked with Mark D'Antonio before, so he does have familiarity. But I think he is a good coach, but I think it is a bad hire for Michigan State, and I think it is a bad job for Mel Tucker. I think Mel Tucker would have been better off at Colorado. I think it would be easier to win at Colorado than Michigan State. At Michigan State, you start out every day number 4 in your division. Michigan State in the Big Ten East Division is the equivalent of Kentucky football in the SEC East. Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State will always have more resources than Michigan State. Always in football. That will never change. That won't change in my lifetime. That won't change in my son's lifetime. That won't change in my granddaughter's lifetime. If you're fourth place in the East at Michigan State, that's where you belong in football. And they are Kentucky in football. And what Mark D'Antonio did was pretty amazing. You know, they won with defense. They had a great recruiting class that posted 3 straight top 10 finishes. I covered that era. It was the greatest era of modern era history of Michigan State football. It happens once every 50 years. Mel Tucker won't win there, BA. It's a curious forced hire, and good for Mel that he's getting paid, and good for Jimmy Sexton that he got him the job. But this is not going to end well. And I'm going to stay tuned. I mean, there's a part of me that thinks Mel Tucker could reverse his decision. Mel lost a lot of credibility with this. He went on Denver radio stations yesterday and told everyone he was staying at Colorado. He lost a lot of professional credibility with this. So this is a train wreck, and it's one that, you know, you're not going to want to see, but it's one that ESPN's going to move in on. It's going to turn into a national story, and, you know, it's not going to be good.
Well, I'll tell you this. For $6 million, you can have my credibility, though. I'll sell it to you for $6 million.
Well, you say that, BA, but in the end game, when, you know, every move you make counts when you're a head coach. It all counts. And unless Mel Tucker, you know, wins big, this is going to hurt him with his next job. It's going to absolutely hurt him with his next job.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting story to see how it plays out. One of the things we've had a good time with on our show over the course of the last couple of days, and Mike, I know you've written a lot about there as well, pretty good interview with DJ Shockley, those early enrollees from the official site. They put that out. We've put a link up to this, and we'll do that again. We post the show later on today. What's your big takeaway from getting to know a little bit more about Carson Beck and Kendall Milton and Warren Brinson? Major Burns, I thought, was a real revelation in terms of his personality. What's been your kind of takeaway from getting to know these guys a little bit more through this video? Obviously, at least since they've been on campus, we haven't had a chance to speak to these guys. The official site has. What have you learned from them?
Well, one, just the tone of our conversation and the way it's changed. Anytime anybody ever asked me back home, man, why are you working down there in the SEC? It's to cover Georgia football, man, because things are a lot better here and a lot happier to talk about, with a lot better coaching and a lot better players and a lot better fans and a lot better stadium. Because you can tell we just did a 180 in the tone of our conversation going from Michigan State football to Georgia. A lot of the same things that you did. You know, Carson Beck, you know, the leadership. You know, I've done a couple stories on him off of that video. You could really see some things. You know, Jeff had told us about. I think Jeff Sintel did such a great job covering Carson. You know, we all kind of knew his life story, but, you know, thankfully we were able to see him do some video. Now that he's here. Now that he's here, it's different. You know, when you're a recruit, it's one thing. And then when you arrive in this Georgia world, things change. You have to change. And, you know, watching Carson transition into the Georgia system, the challenges that are had, how he reacts to those challenges, how he mixes with these other elite recruits, you know, very encouraging to me. You know, this is a guy that's come to compete. He's confident. He's got game. He's got poise. He's got some swagger. You know, it's exciting. You know, and I'll say Kendall Milton, too. You know, the thing I heard from Kendall Milton that I thought was most important was the culture change. And it is different in California. When people ask, well, why would those California kids come? Because in California, football gets lost. There's so many things going on that there's just not the same focus and same priority placed on college football. And I learned that when I covered Tennessee. They had a lot of California guys, Dante Stallworth and Casey Clawson and Kevin Burnett, guys, the NFL talent. Why would they come? Because in the SEC, we take it serious. And they want that. And Kendall is learning the focus and the drive and the sacrifices that the players at Georgia are willing to make to compete for championships. That's the culture and the climate that Kirby Smart has created. I think it's statewide. I think Georgia High School does a phenomenal job. I mean, let me tell you, if you got a kid that plays high school football, move to Georgia, because the schools are good, the communities are good, the roads are good, right? And on Dog Nation, you can listen to Brandon Adams every day. There's a reason to come to Georgia. The culture. So the culture change for Kendall Milton was one thing that jumped out. Carson Beck, the competitiveness, the swag. I loved Major Burns' comments. You saw the story I did on Adam Anderson.
Yeah.
When he's like, nah, we got this guy, Adam. You know, he's talking about Adam at 6'5 and running a 4.4. And you just think to yourself, you know, can you imagine being a high school athlete and all of a sudden you run into a guy like Adam Anderson that's 6'5 that runs faster than you and is 225, 230 pounds? And you think to yourself, this guy is a role player at Georgia. That's how good they are. An outside linebacker. He will play in the NFL. And now all of a sudden, these guys are surrounded by Adam Anderson. There's freaks in every position group. Kylie Rinka, he might be the best corner in the class, but he's number four when he steps on the field at Georgia. Behind guys like Eric Stokes. What a Frankenstein Kirby Smart has created with Eric Stokes, by the way. A guy that wasn't even a corner, and he comes to Georgia, and now he's going to end up an NFL cornerback. And Tyson Campbell, the five-star from South Florida, somewhere Connor's rolling his eyes. He knows I love those South Florida guys. But Tyson Campbell, so special, big, long, fast. And DJ, and the job he did last year, DJ Daniel, transitioning in and showing his toughness from junior college, you know, there's just so much competition, BA, and I feel like the freshmen have had their eyes opened.
I did really love that moment, and you mentioned it, I know you wrote about it, when Major Burns did mention how impressed he was with seeing just the physical specs that Adam Anderson brings to the table. And I thought it was a real moment of, like, genuine humanity from Burns. You know, some of the other guys around him were, in that video, trying to pretend like they weren't that impressed by anybody, and they were all kind of players of the same caliber. But Burns, I thought, was just truly more honest than that. And you know, Mike, I think there's got to be, and I don't mean this in a bad way. I just mean this in kind of I'm sure it must be shock and awe when you step onto that college practice field for the first time, or in this case, in that weight room during this winter period for the first time, and you see guys who are either as physically gifted as you are, and all these guys will encounter that, or in some cases, a degree of physicality that you've never experienced at the high school level, that's got to be to a degree shocking. And that's why I've always felt like that the mental approach, how you psychologically prepare yourself to be challenged like this each and every day, is maybe one of the more important aspects of becoming a good SEC player. The fact that in kind of a humorous way, Burns gave a voice to that in the video, I thought was actually really entertaining.
Absolutely. Again, I'm with you. That was like my favorite moment, you know? You know, he was like, nah, guys. Like, let's be real here. And you're right. And, you know, and I know Jeff has gone through this. You've probably done it. You talk with these guys. You know, I remember when I went to South Florida and talked with Kenny McIntosh last spring. And Kenny had a trainer. He worked out with the same trainer as Josh Hammonds. Josh Hammonds was actually in the workout group. If you go back and look at my Kenny McIntosh videos, you'll see Florida receiver Josh Hammonds, a senior. Because when those guys are, you know, in the off season, they leave Gainesville, he would go back to South Florida and train with the same guy Kenny did. There was a Florida State guy in there too, but I remember telling Kenny it was hot that day, and they were doing ladders outside on the pavement, and he's like, "Man, I'm just getting after it." I said, "Let me tell you something, man." I said, "This heat that you're dealing with now ain't nothing compared to what you're going to get now." "Nah, it gets hot down here." I said, "Kenny, listen to me. It's going to be different. Kirby goes outside in equipment. You're going to be dealing with heat in Athens you have never experienced in your lifetime." And he, "Oh, come on." I said, okay. Sure enough, you know, I ran into his dad this fall. His dad said, "Yeah, man, Kenny said that heat was real. He said, let you know." I said, "I told you, they don't know. They think they're working out hard. They think that they've got the workout plan. You know, somebody sends, here's the workout, here's what you need to do. They're outperforming their classmates. They're working harder than everybody on their 50-man team. Their head coach thinks they're the greatest that's ever been through there." And then they get to Georgia and they realize, "Oh, no, this is a whole nother level. There's no Ben Cleveland in your weight room. There's no Adam Anderson in your weight room," right? And I think, you know, kind of going back to Carson Beck and kind of tying this into the first question, Carson Beck is for an incoming freshman, it's 6'4", 225, that's played AAU, that's played baseball with a 91-mile-an-hour fastball, that's won a state championship at the highest level in Florida. I mean, let me tell you, that's some special stuff right there. That's like he's in his local Hall of Fame. Whatever town he's from, he's in that Hall of Fame, okay? He's the grand marshal of that parade. But you come here, and now on the other side of that weight room, there's a guy that's 6'4" and 230 pounds that's been sweating it out at a no-name school named Jamie Newman, who's got a chance to win a championship and a Heisman Trophy. And he's a grown man. He's 6'4", 230. He's got man strength. He's got the battle scars. So as great as Carson is, that's what he's up against, a grown man. And so to your point, this transition, when they go from boy to man, I'll tell you another one that I think is fascinating. And these guys aren't here yet, but Connor's written about them and I've written about them. Tate Ratledge and Broderick Jones, right?
Sure.
These cats are coming in here this summer. They're both in the top five tackles. Now, who wins? The top five freshmen coming in, or the guys like Xavier Truss and Warren McClendon that were ranked 19 and 20 or 18 and 19 a year ago but have a year of seasoning in the Georgia program? To me, these are the fascinating position battles that we'll see unfold in spring and fall.
No, I think that's absolutely right. We got more with Mike Griffith coming up. I do want to tell you that Dog Nation Daily is going to be on the road here pretty soon. Want you to join us at the 38th annual Atlanta International Auto Show. It's going to be the Georgia World Congress Center, Building C. It's going to be February 26th through March 1st. We're going to be there live on Friday, February 28th. Now, we'll be there when the doors open at noon, so please come by and say hi to us. Of course, the auto show has the latest new cars, SUVs, and trucks from over 24 manufacturers, and there's some special attractions as well. How about Cousin Eddie's RV from Christmas Vacation, exotic cars from Caffeine and Octane, and a whole lot more? You can check this out. Tickets $12. Kids 6 through 12 are $6. And five and under, of course, are free. So there's also discounts for heroes out there and seniors. Please visit GoAutoShow.com for more details. That's GoAutoShow.com, and you can join us for the Atlanta International Auto Show, the 38th annual, coming up at the end of this month there at the Georgia World Congress Center. Mike, interesting thing from you here at DogNation.com over the last couple of days, the look at Georgia as it expands its facilities. One of the things I think is the most fascinating by this is that small footprint of land that Georgia's apparently about to put a pretty significant structure on. You know, I don't know if Georgia's more landlocked than the average school or not, but it's really kind of amazing that sort of small practice field in between the track and the indoor facility, not even 100 yards long. It's the old kickers track for people who are, I guess, curious about that. Or I should say kickers field is now going to be the site of a new football facility, weight room. It's almost like you're squeezing a skyscraper in downtown New York City with the way that they're going to be sort of erecting this thing in between these other structures. What do you make of this facility upgrade for the Dogs?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, let's face it, you know, in the perfect world, they move Foley Field off campus into a much bigger area. It needs more seating, and they turn that little baseball field area into the new facility, and they make it even bigger, right? And who knows, maybe in 25 years, you know, that happens, you know, or 50 years, or whenever the next arms race occurs. But it's going to be 165,000 square feet, or 160,000. It's going to be three stories. And it's going to be the house of fun. It's going to do what Clemson's football facility did for Clemson. You know, the most interesting thing that came out of that was just how far behind Georgia is. And I just don't think people realize that. And you say it, and it just doesn't resonate. They just don't believe. But when it comes to facilities, Georgia was ranked 18th in the country and number 8 by 24/7 in an independent rating. Let me repeat that. Georgia was number 8 in the SEC in football in something. Number 8 in the SEC. That's not acceptable. That's not acceptable. And number 8 in anything is not acceptable if you're Georgia football. That's the standard that I set for the program I cover, because that's what I hear from the head man. Kirby has a vision that he shares with Greg. But McGarrity is working with Kirby, whether it's scheduling, whether it's recruiting budget, or in this case, facilities. This is a Kirby smart vision. Can improve.
All right, Mike, good to talk to you. Thanks for being here on the program today. We'll look forward to reading much more about you on topics like this, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Look forward to it, B.A. Thanks, man. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
So Mike apparently very fired up, as you can tell, on the subject of facilities. And for whatever reason, I'm sort of agnostic about this. I'm not saying I don't want Georgia to have the nicest weight room and the nicest whatever. I've never quite believe there was such a straight line from commercial real estate and winning championships. I'm sort of fine with Georgia building whatever it wants, and you know, Kirby's good at raising the money. I'm sort of fine with him spending the money. You know, for instance, there's a lot better correlation for me in willingness to spend money traveling to see recruits, or willing to spend money to retain top assistants. Those are things in which I think there is a direct correlation with winning. For the most part, when it comes to facilities, I'm just sort of whatever. I'm fine with having a new weight room for Georgia. Sounds like it's going to be a good one. I'm sort of fine with whatever. Facilities is just not the kind of thing I get all that fired up about. Now, nice things inside a stadium, the kind of thing the average fan can take advantage of, I'm always going to be pretty outspoken on that. For the most part, a nicer office for the coaches, I don't personally think recruits care much about that, but I also am not that – I just don't really feel that strong about it one way or another. It's a dog – by the way, you take this a step further, you know – you'd say, well, you want the nicest weight room you can because that helps you have stronger players. But, I mean, Rocky Balboa beat Ivan Drago training in a barn in Russia. So, I mean, you don't always have to have, I guess, the nicest of the nice. But who am I to stand in the way of that if that's what UGA wants to do here? Nonetheless, it's time to go cruise around the SEC courtesy of our friends at Royal Caribbean. Now, when it comes to the nicest of the nice, you know Royal Caribbean's bringing that to you. And one of the great examples is one of the terrific ships in the fleet. I'm talking about the Odyssey of the Seas. It's a countdown is on. It's going to be a game changer. It's the first quantum ultra-class ship to sail in the U.S. and Europe. It's the Odyssey of the Seas. It's going to be in Fort Lauderdale in the fall of 2020, and then going from Rome in the summer of 2021. And this thing's loaded down with features like Ripcord by iFly, which is a skydiving simulator. You've got North Star, which sounds to me incredibly fun. Jewel-shaped capsule, 300 feet in the air, 360-degree views. This ship has bumper cars. It's got all kinds of cutting-edge entertainment, and it's got Playmaker Sports Bar and Arcade. The idea of having a sports bar at can't see is something that will be endlessly fascinating to me. So I know you need a vacation. Get one today. Contact your travel advisor or call my friends at the Cruise and Vacation Authority. You can reach them by phone, 800-326-4971. That's 800-326-4971. But tell them you heard about them or right here with us on Dog Nation Daily. All right, cruise around the SEC with Royal Caribbean. A couple of things to talk to you about here for a moment. So LSU coach Ed Orgeron has come out with kind of a fiery, I don't want to say defense, but defense would be the wrong word, outspoken in his support, belief in Miles Brennan. Now, the issue with Brennan is that he's had chances to win the LSU starting quarterback job before and didn't do it. Joe Burrow would have never came to LSU had Brennan been viewed as the heir apparent at the time. But LSU kind of, I mean, honestly, who knows what the real story is behind the scenes, but to my eyes, it never kind of quite got in on a Derrick King, who at one point in time I thought, because he's at Houston's kind of a pipeline to LSU, I thought that King might be involved at LSU. He wasn't. Other transfer quarterbacks LSU wasn't really in on. It looks like Brennan's going to be the guy. Orgeron kind of steps up, supports him, believes in Brennan right now. Boy, for a program that just won a national championship and seemed like it was the best and only getting better, to lose Joe Brady, lose Joe Burrow, a huge flood of guys moving on the NFL. Dave Aranda leaves to go take the Baylor head coaching job. And now the challenge of being the reigning national champion, the challenge of living up to that hype for a second year, resting on the somewhat thin frame of Miles Brennan on his shoulders, this will be something to see in Baton Rouge. I'm a big believer in Ed Orgeron long range as a coach. I wondered, though, if they can avoid taking a dip with what I think of as a much less talented quarterback this season. At least that's my early indication, but we shall see. Speaking of LSU, they did recently announce this within the last 24 hours or so, a two-game series coming up with Florida State. And this is a little bit different than some. I believe both of these are slated to be neutral side games. So the recent trend of home and homes, and that's not going to be the case for the Tigers and the Seminoles, but they are going to play a couple times coming up, which is always a welcome thing. I think Florida State playing SEC teams is always a lot of fun. It's very easy to forget just kind of how smack dab in the middle of the SEC footprint Tallahassee, Florida is. I love the fact that Georgia's going to be playing the Noles here coming up. I think it's good that LSU's doing that. These sort of interconference rivalries, I think they're good for the sport. I think LSU-FSU is definitely good for that. And then finally one thing here. So Ayabi Enoma, you may remember him, former five-star linebacker, recently dismissed from Alabama, ends up at Houston. He's now left the Cougars program there as well. And who knows what's going on here, but it just goes to show you that not every five-star is going to work out exactly the way you think they're going to. Some of them are just going to have a hard time finding a home. I'll also say that, as I've said many times, when that is the case, as Houston proves, as Alabama once proved, it's not that hard to move on from somebody in that particular instance. Obviously, we wish these guys well. You know, whether it be Enoma or anybody else, we just sort of believe that football can be a good thing, transformational for the people who are lucky enough to get a chance to play at the major college level. So for all these guys, we hope they eventually find a home. And the example here of a five-star guy who hasn't exactly done that as of yet. But nonetheless, we'll make that. Cruise around the SEC, courtesy of our friends at Royal Caribbean. Now, I want to make a specific point about Kirby Smart here coming up in a moment. Before that, I do want to give you a quick update on something. Today marks a really fun new chapter in the history of Before the Hedge is presented by Kroger. That's the recruiting show that airs each and every Wednesday. This is going to be a brand new thing today, new time for the program. It's going to air at 6 p.m. It'll still be brought to you by Kroger. It'll still have all the recruiting information that you've come to expect from Jeff Centel. In fact, even more of Jeff than ever before, starting today at 6 p.m. for Before the Hedge is presented by Kroger. So set your appointment for this. It's a little later. It may give more of you a chance to watch that than maybe you're able to watch it live at 3 p.m. You're kind of home from work. You're getting ready to happy hour, dinner hour, whatever you're doing. You can make Before the Hedge as part of presented by Kroger as a part of that. A lot of Jeff Centel, a chance for you to interact with him and talk a lot of UGA recruiting. That's coming up today. First new edition of that program at a brand new time at 6 p.m. And of course, as I said before, It's all presented by Kroger. Don't forget, getting ready for Valentine's Day on February 14th. Your local Kroger's got you covered. Plush toys for the kids. My kids love this. Valentine's exchange card. That's a really big deal. If you've got kids like I do at school, very, very big deal. And the thing that I want, pretty much the only thing I ever want on Valentine's is candy. Well, they've got a Russell Stover candy, a Conversation Hearts, and a whole lot more. So check all that stuff out at your local Kroger as they get you ready for Valentine's Day coming up on February 14th. All right, so with that said, let me transition back here for a moment. I want to play a piece of audio from Kirby Smart. Now, this audio is commonly thought of as the Zach Evans audio, commonly thought of as Smart's response to all of those who wondered why Evans, the five-star running back, was not going to be in Georgia's class. Now, hear me on this for a second. Please make sure you hear me clearly on this. We are not going to talk about Zach Evans on this, but the audio that people commonly assume is about Evans, I do think sets us up to talk about something else that I think is really, really interesting. Here is Kirby talking about the value of character, integrity when it comes to recruiting. Take a listen to the coach.
More every year, more each and every year. Like, it should never be the only thing, but it's definitely the most important thing. And the older I get, the more wiser I get, and the more you realize that chasing guys that don't believe in the same principles and values of your university and of your program, they're just not worth it. I mean, there's too much time spent on guys that if you're having to chase them around, it's just not worth it. I mean, take the guys that want to be there. You go play with the guys that want to be there. And number one, you'll enjoy your job day to day. Your staff will enjoy it more, but so will the other players.
So let me make a simple point about this, and I apologize. It's semi-serious. When Smart says that, as I said before, the assumption is that's Smart kind of retorting to bad behavior, someone not doing the right things, and Kirby says, hey, we're going to punish bad behavior by not giving you a spot in the class. And who knows what all Smart was truly referencing when he said that. However, I do think there's potentially another meaning to what Smart discusses there. This is not just bad behavior, people refraining, recruits refraining from doing what they should do. I think there's a certain aspect of valuing character and integrity in recruiting that also means you want to highlight guys who enter your program with the right attitude. I gave you an example of that earlier from Major Burns. A guy said, hey, I want to choose Georgia because sharks want to swim the sharks. It's kind of a great line from Burns. UGA fans will have fun with that. But in that same video that Mike and I were talking about a little earlier about all the early enrollees, there was another signee, Warren Brinson, who I think gave another reason for choosing Georgia. And if you're looking for character in recruiting and the ways in which that matter, the guys that Georgia signed, the presence of that character in them, I think you see some examples of that, Warren Brinson included. Let me let you hear him saying what Nolan Smith, who he played high school football with, told him about his time at Georgia. This is an example of how character can show up in a recruit.
You played with Nolan. Has he given you any advice before you got here about what to expect when you got here?
He didn't even have to give me that. I mean, I know Nolan was not going to go to a place where you had to work hard. He was probably the hardest worker I played with. Like, at IMG, I mean, he was crazy, sprinting everywhere, full speed, never stopping, motor, high motor, always going. But he just told me, like, I came here up during the summer one time. He told me, just be ready for it. It's different. Just be ready.
So the point here is when he says that, when Kirby Smart says character matters in recruiting, this is not just potentially a phrase of, we want to avoid guys who have bad behavior. There's something to be said for character mattering recruiting, also meaning we want to seek out guys who have the right behavior, have the right mindset, the right attitude. And that thing of, hey, Nolan Smith didn't have to tell me how hard Georgia is. I wouldn't choose a school where hard work wasn't demanded. That is an example of, I think, character mattering in recruiting. And Warren Brinson's articulate in expressing that in his own beliefs. But my guess is a lot of the other recruits kind of approach Georgia with the same mindset of, hey, if I'm going to get to the NFL, if I'm going to make myself a better man, then I've got to have a program that's not going to pat me on the back every single day, but expect something from me. I think it's kind of a cool reason to see guys choosing UGA. Had a great lunch yesterday with my friends at Marlowe's Tavern. I want to send a special thank you to them. Turkey meatloaf, brie fondue with the little pretzels. Everything was great. You know what else is great? Gatorator Updater. 1,201 days. We'll see you tomorrow. Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. And on video, time now for our R.S. Andrews cool down. I know we were short with comments yesterday. I can't go crazy long today just because we always got a bunch of stuff to do. But I do have some time for some of y'all to kind of jump in here and give me your thoughts on whatever you want to do. So we'll do all of that here.